So the Olympics, if you look at the sponsors, are a high-tech sports competition with monitoring that gets you down to the nanosecond. I mean, it couldn't be more high-tech, but they're also this curious relic from ancient times. I mean, discus, javelin, seriously? What is that about? Another ancient holdover in the Olympics is how it treats women. Women's events are notably shorter and fewer in number in the Olympics. Kate Ledecky's world record, for instance, in the 1,500-meter swim is 13 seconds faster than any other female in history, but she won't be competing in that event at Rio because she isn't a man. The longest race for female pool swimmers is 800 meters. In the opening cycling race, the men's event was 62 miles longer than the female counterparts. Female shotgun events shoot either fewer rounds or from shorter distances. There are 3 boxing events for women and 10 for men. What's going on here? Dr. Michael Joyner is a former marathoner and resident professor at the Mayo Graduate School of Medicine. Michael, welcome to The Takeaway.
Good to be with you, John.
I guess it's penance for us as two men talking about why the Olympics are so discriminatory against women, right?
Well, I think the good news, John, is they're a lot less discriminatory than they once were, and participation by women has increased dramatically, starting in perhaps the 1950s and 60s, but it really accelerated in the 70s and 80s.
Why are track and field events so asymmetric?
The track and field events were asymmetric, but now they're in fact quite symmetric, and really all the events contested for men are contested for women. We've seen the inclusion of the women's pole vault in the last couple of decades, the women's marathon starting in 1984. But there was this long gap from the 20s to the 60s when women weren't permitted to compete at anything longer than 400 meters. There wasn't a triple jump. There wasn't a pole vault, for example, things like that.
My daughters want to know why women aren't allowed to compete on the rings.
In gymnastics, you know, I don't know why the specifics of that are
that
in gymnastics.
That is so weird.
The specifics are.
That's weird.
Somebody
knows the answer to that.
Nobody knows the answer to that is right. And it is interesting because, in general, women's gymnastics, at least from a television perspective, is much more popular than men's gymnastics.
Oh, tons more popular. That's for sure. What about swimming? The Ledecky record in the 1,500-meter swim won't be shown at the Olympics.
Right, because there won't be a 1,500 for women. The 1,500 has been contested at the World Championship since the early 2000s, and the 800 is the longest event for women in the Olympics. It's a sort of a mixed message with swimming because, in fact, swimming was ahead of track and field for a long time with races of 400 and then 800 meters for women for many, many Olympiads. When longer distances didn't really start to occur for women until 1960, and especially starting in 72 and 84.
What's the holdup here? I mean, couldn't the IOC basically just say, okay, we're done with this, we'll make it symmetric?
Well, the IOC outsources a lot of decisions to the individual federations. And so I think it would have to be some sort of dialogue between FINA, the swimming federation, and the IOC. So that's the first thing that would have to happen. And then you get into these sorts of weird discussions about there's a history in the 800, so people can see a progression over time as the medal times get faster and world records are set, versus just having the same events for men and women. If you have do you get rid of the 800 for women and just have a 1500? Do you add an 800 for men? You get into these sorts of kind of logistical how many angels can fit on the head of a pin types of arguments. But I think the real issue here with Ledecky is here's a person who really is spectacular. And while she's good at everything, she's especially good at the 1500, and it's too bad the whole world can't see it.
You know, turn this around, it is also the case that women get the highest profile in sports in the Olympics than perhaps any other competition. I mean, World Cup may be accepted, but you know, you don't see standout women performances with these kinds of television audiences in any other competition, right?
Yeah, I think that would be the generally accurate impression. And again, that was led by ABC's focus on gymnastics, and especially with the emergence of people like Olga Korbut, the great Soviet gymnast in 1972 at Munich.
When we've built on that, is it just in gymnastics, or have other sports come along.
Gymnastics has led the way. Figure skating's been awfully popular, but other sports have really kind of ridden that wave, what we call Title IX here in the U.S., and just also the opening of more opportunities for women all over the world. So at one level, things are still bad. There's still these discrepancies. On the other hand, there are women professionals in many, many sports. And Katie Ledecky, if she chose, could take the route that Michael Phelps did and become a professional right away and really cash in. On the other hand, she's decided to go to Stanford and pursue a college career, so she has to retain her amateur status.
Yeah, I know. Having a Stanford backup, that's pretty...
yeah, that's pretty...
she's in good shape.
And John, that leads us to the whole issue about why can't she cash in and compete in the NCAAs while she's at Stanford, but... trying to understand the NCAA is even more difficult than understanding the IOC sometimes.
Is track and field as an international sporting event with audiences outside of the Olympics, is it more or less than it has been over the course of history? I mean, is the World Cup in track and field a different animal than it was 20, 30 years ago?
People in track and field are quite concerned about interest in their sport outside of the Olympics. Some of that has been competition from other sports. Some of it has been these persistent issues associated with doping. And some of it, frankly, has been the decline of the East-West kind of Cold War rivalries. The LA Coliseum used to be filled for U.S.-Russian dual meets or U.S.-Soviet Union dual meets. That's almost impossible to imagine now.
Dr. Michael Joyner is former marathoner and resident professor at the Mayo Graduate School of Medicine. Have a happy Olympics, and thanks so much, Doctor.
Thank you.